In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You are having a delightful conversation with a new acquaintance at work. Your exchange reveals that you have a lot in common. You are both Christians. Even though you have different church backgrounds, you share many of the same values. You both agree that the Bible is God's inspired, infallible word. You both trust Jesus as the only way to heaven. You both hold a high standard of morality. You recognize that God has blessed you in so many ways. But then you come to a subject that reveals some differences between the two of you. The subject is baptism. The teaching of baptism is one among a number of doctrines that clearly reveals that not all churches are the same. Your friend views baptism as merely an outward sign of an inward faith. An outward sign of an inward faith. In other words, after a person repents and believes in Jesus, then he or she is baptized. This point of view sees baptism only as our act of obedience to Jesus' command in the Great Commission. It's something that people do to show that they are really followers of Jesus. But you have been taught differently. What you have learned from God's word is that in baptism, God is the actor, not man. Baptism is not a law or demand, but it's a gift of God to bring us into His family. It's a gospel word. In the Lutheran Church, we hold that baptism is a means of grace. A means of grace. That is, God brings us forgiveness and eternal life through baptism. In baptism, the Holy Spirit is given to us to bring faith and to strengthen faith. It wouldn't surprise me if most of us have friends or even family members who view baptism as an outward sign of an inward faith. In this season after the Epiphany, though, a season of revealing and shining forth the gospel of Jesus, I pray that we see anew that baptism reveals that God is the one acting through it to bring us forgiveness and the assurance of our salvation. Baptism reveals that God is the one acting through it to bring us forgiveness and the assurance of salvation. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. We read today in verse 4 of Mark chapter 1. All of a sudden, here comes John, clothed like an Old Testament prophet. He does his work out in the country, out in the wilderness by the River Jordan. He spends all of his time in that desolate place preaching to people. And the people, all those people, they just kept coming and coming and coming. And so John baptizes one after another after another. But what does it all mean? God is in action. God is taking action. The time had come for God's last prophet to do what the Lord had planned centuries before. prepare the way for the Lord. Prepare the way for the Lord. The promised Savior was about to be revealed. The fact that so many people were coming out to John to be baptized reveals that God was also at work in the hearts of the people. The Gospel of Mark emphasizes this movement of great crowds we can picture in our minds by using hyperbole. He says, "And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins." Yes, this great multitude of people shows that God had given John some powerful tools to prepare the way of the Lord. God had given his word and the blessing of baptism. John's baptism reveals that God was at work. John's baptism was not an outward sign of an inward faith. No. This baptism really brought God's grace. The great multitudes coming out to him were not there to show their faith and demonstrated that they already had the forgiveness of sins. No, they went out to hear God's word and to turn to him in repentance to receive forgiveness of sins. As we read in verse 4, John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John's was a baptism of repentance. The Greek word for repentance literally means to change your mind. Change your mind about your sin. It will not bring you satisfaction or fulfillment. With every temptation to sin, there is always the deception that it will bring something good to us, some benefit, some fulfillment. But when we fall into sin, we find the opposite is true. We experience guilt, emptiness, shame. So change your mind about any sin, especially those that are so common to us personally, and we keep falling into them over and over again. Sin only leads to pain and ultimately eternal death. But at the same time, in repentance, we change our mind about God. He gives us his law to help us, to protect us, to bless us. He forbids sin, not because he's trying to kill our pleasure, but to keep us from harm. So change your mind about God. He loves you, even though you have sinned, and he offers you forgiveness. John's was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The Greek word often translated for could be translated as for the purpose of. John proclaimed a baptism of repentance for the purpose of the forgiveness of sins. This little word for gives the sense of leading to. So John's was a baptism of repentance leading to the forgiveness of sins. All those people who went out to John, responding to his preaching, were being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And they were receiving God's grace. But there was one exception. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Jesus was the only one among all the multitudes of people who came to John for baptism who didn't need the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is the only one who ever lived who didn't need to repent. Yes, Jesus' baptism was different in that sense. But the baptism of Jesus revealed that he was true God who came to enact our rescue. And the Father, and God the Father confirmed that, saying, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." So the voice of the Father confirms that from heaven. Jesus' baptism reveals that God had acted to keep his promise, sending the Savior. The baptism of Jesus marks the beginning of his ministry of salvation for us. At his baptism, Jesus identifies with sinners and was anointed to bring good news to all. While sinful human beings receive baptism for the forgiveness of sins, the only sinless human who is also God received baptism as the one who would take all sins upon himself. In the Garden of Gethsemane, on the night when he was betrayed, we get an indication of this when Jesus expressed himself with these words, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death." In this mysterious expression of agony, our Lord was already feeling the weight of sin with its guilt and shame. Soon our Savior would be nailed to the cross, carrying the load of the world's sins, and would receive not the commendation of the Father, but his rejection and punishment. At that moment on the cross, the Father was not well pleased with his Son. But because Jesus acted to bear our sins in his body and took our place under God's judgment, we do have grace and mercy. We are blessed with the gifts of forgiveness. When we were baptized, God was acting to do amazing things. And that's what our epistle reading proclaimed to us today from Romans 6. So please read with me. "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this." In our baptism, God acted to unite us with Christ in his death and resurrection. What a powerful means of grace. God acts in our baptism to save us. God acts in our baptism to regenerate us, to make us new people, believers in his Son, Jesus Christ, the one who saves us. Our baptism reveals that that's the kind of God we have. One who is always in action for us. Pastors have a lot of opportunities to talk to people about their faith and their relationship with the Lord. They also have the privilege of helping people work through their doubts. And doubts are often expressed in questions like this: Is my faith big enough? Have I been sincerely sorry for my sins? Do you think, Pastor, I'm strong enough to stay with Jesus to the end? And some quick answers to these questions could be, no, probably not, and I don't think so. Of course, we pastors would never leave at that, nor would we be too quick in our response, especially some pastors that like to talk too much. The source of these doubts is that the focus of these dear people of God is not in the right place. Do you see? They are focusing on themselves. They are looking at their faith, their sincerity, their strength. And whenever we do that, we are sure to have doubts. Instead, pastors have the privilege of pointing people to the object of their faith by asking questions like this. Is Jesus big enough? Were you baptized in God's name for the forgiveness of your sins? Is your Savior strong enough to keep you in His hands to the end? Jesus is the mightier one, as we read today in Mark chapter 1. He is mightier than John the Baptist, and surely mightier than us. Now, He gives us Christians something to hold on to, it, like our baptism and the promises of God. All of them, His actions. His actions. We were not the ones acting in our baptism. God was. In our baptism, God acted to make us His beloved sons and daughters, with whom He is well pleased. He is well pleased. In His name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.